Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6-12, now getting back to it on a Monday morning. Some rain in some areas, be aware of that. 60% chance overall. It would look as though the rain really moves in around noon and then hangs out through tomorrow, so a rainy couple of days ahead. Be aware of that and be careful. Of course, we'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know here at WWL. Prashant Yadav joins us right now, our friend, professor of supply chain management at INSED and a fellow at the Center for Global Development, an expert on medical supply chains. And we're going to talk about drug shortages, and have you had any problem getting a drug, a prescription filled for you or your family? Good morning, Prashant. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Always great to be here on the show.
Thank you, sir. I was taking some ADD medicine up until, I guess, maybe 3 months ago, and after the problems of trying to get it, it's like, you know what, I'll just find a way to get through without it, because it was a constant problem of them having it or not having it. The last time they told me, well, we don't have it, and I don't know when we're going to get it. How big of a problem is this throughout the country?
So it's a significant problem, and it's a problem that cuts across multiple therapeutic classes. So we have this for things as simple as IV saline, the fluids that are used to deliver medications to people, either for chemotherapy or for surgery or dialysis or things like that, or to even replenish lost fluids in patients. More complex agents, such as vincristine for chemotherapy. Very simple things. Amoxicillin suspension, what kids need when they have, flu or bacterial infections and so on. So I think it is quite widespread. And some of this is for drugs which have a demand increase, which means, you know, suddenly we're seeing more and more cases of kids infections and respiratory infections. So it's a demand surge. But for many of them, it has been off and on shortage over the last decade for many items. So there is more structural problems at play.
I see propofol. 15 years they've had a problem trying to get that on and off?
Yeah, and I think what's at play, in my opinion, Tommy, is that there are many products for which, many medicines for which the profit margins have decreased for the manufacturers. So either there are very few manufacturers interested in serving the market, or it's too complex to manufacture, the profit margins don't suit them well. So it's a combination of these things. And in addition, I think we all know that we depend on India and China for a very large proportion of generic medicines we get in the United States. And that geographical concentration also hurts sometimes.
Why would, if India and China were doing this and it was profitable for them, why would it still not be? Or did COVID disrupt all that?
No, I think the manufacturing still occurs, but if there is a supply disruption at, let's say, an API manufacturing plant in China, given, you know, COVID situation or worker shortages or something else, then it trickles down to all the way up to the distributors and the GPOs in the U.S. who are serving our retail pharmacies and hospital pharmacies. So anything upstream in the supply chain, small events have the potential of becoming bigger shortages downstream, given this high degree of geographical concentration and where we source our products from.
I guess I'm wondering if it's a problem of the people that make these drugs in India and China getting the raw materials that they need to make the drugs, or do they have those?
It's a combination. Depends from product to product. So I think what we need is a end-to-end visibility of where the risks lie in the supply chain for any given medicine. Sometimes it's the solvents, sometimes it's the raw materials and reagents, sometimes it's the active ingredient in the drug, sometimes it's the actual formulation of the drug, sometimes it's the syringe or the packaging in which it has to go. So it cuts across different components of the supply chain, and we don't have a clear visibility to be able to say, well, for this medicine, the risk is upstream. For this medicine, the risk is downstream. I think what the first thing we need is a way to have full visibility and then estimate the risk and take some proactive action about that.
Is one type of drug more in shortage than another?
I think generic injectable drugs are more in shortage. These are things which are used in hospital, but have been off patent for, you know, more than 10 years. The profit margins have decreased. That's the category where we see the most number of shortages occurring.
Yeah, that's the next question I was going to ask you. Is it generic or name brand? But I guess it's primarily generic, because otherwise the only people that can make it are the manufacturer. And they're, well, let's compare and contrast that, Prashant, if we can. The difference between medicines that are generic and that haven't gone generic yet, is there as equal of a shortage with Americans with the medicines that have not gone generic?
There are fewer. So I think more of the shortages are for generic medicines. And the reasons are that, you know, once the product goes generic, the profit margins decrease. And if it's a generic product, which still has manufacturing complexity, I think that's where we see more of the shortages. For branded products, I think the margins are sufficient to make sure that the manufacturer or the manufacturers in question have an equal incentive to ensure there is no shortage, because they lose a significant amount of revenue if there is a shortage. On generics, that margin is smaller. So I think the larger problem is in generics.
And I find this interesting, because we talk about lower prescription prices and people talk about the pharmaceutical companies and how they're robber barons, and I put that in quotation marks, but yet it's the profit margin that keeps the medicine flowing, right?
Yeah, I think it's about finding what is the reasonable level of profit margin that keeps the incentive for the manufacturers to ensure product availability right up to the patient, and then coupling that with other investments from the federal government, which are around new manufacturing technology, which can allow making those products in smaller batches here within the United States and still being cost competitive to the manufacturers in India and China. And that investment can get us farther in this.
Are people dying right now as a result of this?
I won't be able to say whether people are dying, but there are numerous instances where people are not able to continue therapy for chronic conditions, and many of these therapies are important for them to maintain their healthy status. So yes, we do have multiple instances of people not being able to maintain their health because of such shortages.
But if it's a chemotherapy drug, then you're talking about some serious ramifications, or are there workarounds?
I think most times physicians and oncologists find a workaround, which means when they find something in shortage, they try to look for a substitute, an alternative. They try to reach out proactively to the distributors, ask them how else can they obtain this drug. So I think the burden of making sure that this doesn't translate into a patient dying is falling increasingly on the healthcare provider, and they're making do. But there are limits to how far they can continue doing this if some of these shortages continue and become more mainstream, then I think even that modality or a recourse will not be able to help us.
All right, let me take a quick break. We're talking to Prashant Yadav, professor of supply chain management at INSET and fellow at the Center for Global Development and expert on medical supply chains. Talking about the shortages of medication, somebody texted in, I take Mounjaro for type 2 diabetes. A lot of doctors prescribe it as a dietary weight loss, and I have a lot of problems getting it. So text me, 504-260-1870. I got off the ADD medicine because I just was tired of trying to get it at the drugstore, and I've been able to. 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Got some rain around the area. Really expected to get rainy around noon and last through tomorrow. We're talking to Prashant Yadav, a professor of supply chain management at INSET, fellow at the Center for Global Development, an expert on medical supply chains, about drug shortages. And in testimony yesterday, committee chairman said it could be a national security crisis. 295 individual drugs in shortage at the end of 2022. Prashant, what about over-the-counter medications? Are those affected as well?
Yes, some of the over-the-counter medicines are also impacted. But I think the bigger challenges still lie in what I was describing earlier as the injectable generics that are used in hospital settings. We've seen some recent instances of amoxicillin. We've seen instances of, like you were mentioning, ADHD medicines, which have a slightly different reason for why the shortages may have occurred.
What's the reason?
But it's across the board, and yes, for OTC medicines as well.
What's the reason with the ADD medicine? Because I guess that goes to how the medicine is made, right?
Two things. One is how it is made, but also the nature of regulation for ADD medicines includes the DEA in addition to the Food and Drug Administration. So I think having two sets of regulators makes things trickier, especially when the product doesn't carry sufficient margin for the manufacturers. And that's what has led to the Adderall shortage.
Is law enforcement given between patient and their doctors?
I think it is a drug that does require some kind of regulatory oversight by law enforcement agencies because it has the potential and the risk of getting out for non-intended uses. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of how agile can the regulatory agency and the law enforcement agency be about. And as we know, sometimes it's not agility is not necessarily the forte of such agencies. So that's what has come in the way for Adderall.
So how do you fix this? Long-term, short-term?
So first thing we need is a risk map. We need, the federal government needs to know where exactly in the supply chain for which medicine are the biggest risks, whether it is at the raw material stage, active pharmaceutical ingredient stage, finished formulation stage, distributor stage. And that risk map doesn't exist. We've been trying to work on this for several years now, but I think we still don't have something which we can call as a full-fledged risk map. That's a short-term need, needs to happen right away. The longer to midterm changes require, like I said, fixing the geographical concentration of manufacturing, and that can only be done by investing in new manufacturing technology, plants which can make small batches in an environmentally friendly manner, within the United States and still remain cost competitive to manufacturers that are located elsewhere in the world. And that will require a 5 to 10 year window, but now is the time to start on it.
Would that require government subsidies for companies to do that?
It will require federal government intervention of various forms. It could be subsidies, it could be guarantees of purchase, some combination of those, and also investments in just developing new science and technology and engineering, which may be things that our university systems have to come up with.
So first step to solving a problem is admitting you have one, right? Are the right people admitting that we have one, or are you and I going to have the same conversation a year from now?
I think most of our agencies involved in the medicine access system, regulatory pairs, are admitting we have a problem. I think where we have divergences, what's the root cause of the problem? I think that's where people have slightly divergent viewpoints. So people are admitting, but divergent on what's the root cause of the problem and what's the best way to fix it.
And until they agree, nothing happens, right?
Yes. Okay. That stalls policy action.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time as always. Prashant Yadav, Professor of Supply Chain Management and expert on medical supply chains. We come back, we're going to talk about the shooting at the school in Denver last week. They had decided after George Floyd to take out school resource officers, and, well, after the shooting last week, they decided to put them back in. So we'll talk to Paul Violas about school shooting and the best way to keep schools safe when we come back here on WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.